You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Invasion of Privacy Podcast. I'm Joe Santagato.
And I'm Kate Wolf.
And today, we are joined by Sammy Ricky. Here she is. Sammy Joe Ricky.
Hi.
Woo. Sammy Ricky is back.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
First of all, everyone, I'm in a bit of a cranky mood, but I'm going to get out of it.
She is. This.
But and I'm definitely cranky.
She definitely is.
Frank is here.
Frank is here.
Frank, my alter ego, is definitely in the building today.
But I wanted to bring up a conversation. It's actually good that there's two girls here and me. So while I was in LA, I was in LA from Monday to Wednesday. And
ignoring all my texts.
Yeah, it was. But my phone didn't even work out there anyway. But
really, Sammy, did you get texts from Joe?
Not really.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, not really.
Just dick just pics.
It's just because I was out banging other chicks, right?
Flowers. Yep.
No, so while I was in LA, I had to shoot some things for LA Daily. And in particular, we had people come to a studio and shoot green screen. And then the next day, we were shooting like cutaway scenes. So we drove to everyone's house to just film there and make it easier for them. And we drove to this one girl's house. And as we're driving there, we're driving up into the hills. And all the houses are amazing. Like huge mansions. Like the best house you could believe. We pull up to this girl's house and we're like, are we at the right house? Because it's insanely nice. The nicest house I've ever seen with my eyes.
Wow.
And it's in the hills in LA. So it's overlooking the entire city. Like it's wild. And she comes out and she's like, hey, you know, just park in the garage or whatever. And in the garage, there was like a Porsche and a Bentley, whatever. She's like, oh, just pull into the, you know, whatever. And we pulled in to the garage and she goes, she says something like, she goes, oh, I know, like, this is so annoying, right? I have to deal with this every day. Like, yeah, you have to fucking deal with your Bentley and your Porsche every day. Like,
wait, did she live there by herself?
I'm getting into that.
Okay.
So we get into the house.
Oh, man.
There's one other person there, and it's her assistant, right? It's some woman. It's her assistant. And we're talking to her, and then we get into her bedroom, which is, you know, insane. And we kind of ask her, like, you know, what's the, like, oh, is your family live here or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I don't really know the right answer, but we did get a lot of clues. All right, so we asked her, like, how old are you? And she's like, I'm 26. And she mentioned that she was
wait,
married.
Is she hot? What does she look like?
She's not attractive to me at all, but I could see why someone would think she's, like, pretty. She has a very nice body.
She's got, like, the big fake boobs or what kind of thing?
She doesn't have, like,
going.
Huge fake tits. I think they are, but they're not, like, you know.
They're not, like,
silicone
ginormous.
Looking. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. But she does have a really nice body, and she's, like, in shape. And
what color hair?
She's a brunette.
What does her vagina look like? I'm just kidding. Keep going.
That I don't know. But so
you better not.
while we're there, she mentioned that she's married. And then we're like, what does your husband do? And she goes, he's in the carrot business.
In the what?
In the carrot business. So
carrot?
The guy who I was with goes, oh, you mean diamonds? And she goes, no, carrots. Like like actual
that's
carrots.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? Like carrots. So
here I am hustling with comedy and I could have just went to the carrot business.
He's like a CFO. So then we see a picture of her and some like old guy on the...
Oh,
listen,
man.
Listen. We see a picture of her and some old guy on like the fucking nightstand or whatever. Not the nightstand, like her desk. And my buddy goes up to the picture frame and goes, oh, this is a nice picture frame. Like, he was trying to get it out of her, like, is this the guy? But he's like, oh, this is a nice picture frame, like, this is a cool picture frame. She goes, oh yeah, that's me and my papu. And I started laughing.
What'd you call him? Her papu?
Papu. But I think that was like her grandpa.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But the only you know, it was just weird because no one was there, right?
Wait, did you find out, like, does this story have a good ending?
Yes, it's very open. It's very open ended, but it's also very obvious. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, get. Come on, keep going.
All right. So later on, we finish filming there, and we forget a lens cap at our house. So we're like, can we come back and get it? She goes, yeah, you can come anytime until 11:30. So, you know, my friend was like, oh, is that is that when the husband gets home? And she goes, no, we have a long distance marriage.
What?
Yes. Long distance marriage. Which means
this, yeah,
she's banging an old dude for money.
And he doesn't live there?
He doesn't live there, apparently, because they have a long distance marriage.
Don't like rich old dudes marry those girls for sex?
Yeah, but you know, it's the same thing with the guy who owned the Clippers. Do you remember the guy who, the racist owner of the Clippers?
Yeah.
He had a girlfriend who was super young.
Uh-huh.
And he actually said to her on that tape where he got in trouble for being a racist or whatever, he was like, I don't care what you do with them. You could sleep with them. You could do whatever. Like, they don't care. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird.
So she's married to this dude.
Right.
And he's got her in the most amazing mansion ever.
Right.
But they don't see each other
one
that
of
much?
His. It's probably just one of his
one houses. Of his many
houses.
Oh,
right.
Okay. So he has like three houses and different girls at each house. Maybe.
Right. But she's married.
Crazy.
They're married.
They're married.
Yeah. So she's like, I'm cashing in.
Right.
Well,
so
I mean, we talked about this last
time.
Could
it be possible
like,
that it's a young dude? Sure. But there were certain things in that house that would lead me to believe otherwise. Like, for instance, her coffee table is just a picture of her topless holding her tits. The whole coffee table.
That's ridiculous.
Like, what dude would fucking do that? You know what I mean? Like, what dude would have some like girl on her coffee? Like, you know what I mean? That doesn't make sense.
That's amazing. By the way, Larry, our other guest, just came yes. here. Here, put on the headphones.
All right.
By the way, so Larry, this is Sammy.
Hey, hi.
Sammy, how you and this doing? Is Joe.
Hey, yes.
I thought that was Sammy. But that was Joe.
We were just talking about, so Joe just got back from L.A. and he went
to
this.
Lap dance. I heard it.
You didn't get a... You didn't hear it. Right. Anyway, no, we were just talking about this girl who's a gold digger, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she's like married an old dude for money.
Yeah, that's L.A.
Yeah, basically. that's what I hear.
Hang out at Gatana any day of the week. You'll see a 17-year-old with a 65-year-old or 78-year-old.
Oh, really?
That's
just so common.
Hang out with Gatana on Sunset Strip. I'm telling you.
Because you lived in L.A. for a while.
I still do.
Oh, you're back. You're bi-coastal.
Bi-coastal. I live in Toluca Lake. And oh, my God, let me tell you something. You go on the Sunset Strip, you're going to see, that's the standard, 17, 18, 19. Because they know, you come from all, beautiful women come from all over the world. They want to
wait,
do
so
it.
They come to L.A. to meet a rich man?
Well, they come to L.A. for this. They think they're
to be an
make
actress.
It. Yeah, because they see that Hollywood. But everybody leaves their part of the world. Sweden, Ohio, Nebraska, London. Everybody thinks, oh, because I was the pretty one in my town, I'm going to be. And next thing you know, they realize, okay, porn is the only thing here for me. Or this rich guy right here. Hey, I'll do this rich guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling you, I've seen it happen so much. That's not, like, I'm glad I came in on this right here. I can't wait to get old.
That's crazy, though, because, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, would you be able to, like, just bang an old woman?
No.
Like, that's crazy.
As in no
me.
Way, shape, or form.
That's wild. And nice. She's married to him.
She
married him.
Yeah, no, I mean, but we talked about this. We were like, a handbag is not worth your whole life. You know, having that kind of lifestyle. Great, she has nice cars.
Like, you
cars.
Just get an old-ass dick forever. You know what
but
I mean?
See,
like,
no, here's the... That's the misconception. Because what happens is, you might get the old dick forever.
But you get... when he leaves...
But now, when he leaves, you're getting a lot of young dick and you have a lot of money. And because what are you going to do in L.A.? Be homeless? No, they're not.
Don't you think he would install cameras in the house?
He has to know.
He knows. Yeah. Come on. At that age, you don't care. You're not like a young boy with all that testosterone saying, no.
That's mine.
Yeah, no. No, you're not doing. You're like, I paid for her to be a living something concubine.
Why would he marry her then?
Fuck knows.
Yeah, now see.
He probably got. She probably got him under a spell.
Yeah,
that's stupid. I can understand like a girlfriend or something, but like you don't marry her like that.
Because women have a way to trick men.
Yes, we do.
It's called vaginas.
Yes. It's like, have you ever seen this trick with my tongue? And it's like, no, I haven't. Boom. Where do I sign? Marriage. Let's go now.
Yeah, that's it. That's how it works. It was just crazy to me because I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm like, God damn, like, she married this dude. I know she's just chilling.
Can you imagine having to eat an old dude's asshole?
Oh.
No.
Come on.
I can't imagine eating anyone's asshole.
Oh, my God.
But that's a good point. It's like when they do it, they understand what's at stake. And it's like the Olympics. I always tell people Hollywood is like the Olympics. This is not, the prelims or anything like that. This is the real game. So when you're here, it's either how do you stay here? And it's like many different ways. But when people are young, they realize that it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. You arrive at LAX or Burbank, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm here. And nobody gives a shit that you're there. And you think it's going to be like dun, 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 I'm here. The casting agent's going to see me, and I'm going to be a star tomorrow because I told my family in my little small town that I'm going to be, you know. But now you get out here and you say, wow. And next thing you know, it's like, well, where are all the people hanging at? And then you go to the clubs, you go to the restaurants. And then you realize what the game is of Hollywood. It's very, very like how I would say it's how Wall Street is here.
Yeah.
There's a particular game here in Wall Street that everybody knows, and you play that game.
Yeah.
Hollywood is that same thing. And if you don't live in those two realms, you will not understand that game. And the people that want in, they'll do whatever to do they need to do to get in.
Damn. I've never been to LA.
That's why dudes are like fucking blowing these old execs to get in movies and shit.
Yeah.
John Travolta's jerking people off. Remember that?
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that John Travolta was like jerking off his masseuse or some shit?
No.
You had to know.
No.
That happened. That was like in the news. Like he was jerking off a dude was giving him a massage and he was like reaching behind him trying to jerk him off.
Why?
Because he was jerking off people to get into Grease.
Yes.
Wait a second. If you're jerking off someone like a casting director, that's one thing, which I don't agree with. But why would you just go? If he goes to jerk off a masseuse, it's because he's gay.
No, yeah.
Yeah,
who knows?
Okay, so John Travolta's gay.
Maybe he's just bisexual.
Saying.
He's just like,
that's fine too.
That's the Hollywood way as well.
Is giving blowjobs
to get
ahead. Or
just being bisexual or gay, do whatever you need to do to get in.
That's exactly
it. I heard LA is very plasticky.
It's
you know,
so,
like,
it's honest. I was there for 3 days. And it was like, I could tell that everyone there was just like shitty. Like everyone there was like everyone is like, oh, I was in a Colgate commercial. I'm an actor. Like, bro, you like had a commercial you were in for like 3 seconds. You're
yes.
not, like, relax. You're not an actor.
Right.
You're an extra.
Right.
That's fine. Like, whatever. And even like the Mexican dudes around here that get picked up for like, to do like,
lawns,
you know,
and shit.
Yeah, to do like carpentry work, whatever. They'll even be extras because like that's how crazy it is over there. Like they're always filming, so it's like, yeah, I'll be an extra in your fucking video, whatever. Like,
so everyone there really
everyone's
is an actor,
video,
an actress.
Everything's video.
Listen,
production.
My UPS man gives me a script every fucking time I see him.
No,
every time I see him, he's like, yo, check this out. No, I just want my package. Leave me the fuck alone.
Everyone has
something they want you to look at,
now,
want you to read.
You
got to
understand something, too. That's just Hollywood. See, Hollywood is different than L.A., which is different than the rest of California.
Got it.
There's I keep referring to Wall Street because that's the only thing that I can compare to that I know both worlds. It's like Wall Street is its own thing in New York. Everything in New York is not Wall Street. Queens is not Wall Street. Bay Ridge is not Wall Street. The Village is not Wall Street. But you got to acknowledge that Wall Street is the main shit going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood is the main shit going on in Los Angeles. Everyone comes and converges on that, the red carpet, all that. Outside of that, people are regular people. But everyone isn't trying to get in that grew up in L.A. They're just as tired as it as people that look at the Empire State Building. When people come over here and tourists look at the Empire and look at the Empire State Building, and people go, oh, get the fuck out of the way. Go fuck yourself. Because those are regular New Yorkers. Now, Hollywood is like, we all have to try to make it. There are only two types of people in Hollywood. People told me this before I got in. Those that are on the outside and those that are on the inside. You could be living in Hollywood.
That's so brutal.
That
what a
is.
Brutal way
yeah.
to
that's,
live.
That's how it is.
And
that's
I always thought that I would love to live in LA. And then just like hearing about it, it just sounds like
yeah,
so
no, me
shitty.
Too. So part of me is like, you know, maybe I'll be bi-coastal, but it sounds like I hate it there.
You would. You would hate it if you had nothing going on because there's a lot of depression there. A lot of people go see their therapist. So I never fell for that go see your therapist bullshit. And here's why. And I'm not knocking people that do, but the thing is that when you're in an industry that's so saturated, it's just by the numbers, you're not going to get in every single time. So that's just how life is. Deal with that. But a lot of people think, oh, my God, I didn't get that call back. Oh.
Well, if you base your self-worth on that callback, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's just too many people trying to do the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah. And everybody, there's like 9 different versions that look just like you at the audition.
There are 9 different versions that look just like me here in New York City.
Right.
Comedians. Yeah. Someone will be like, oh, you're a comedian. I saw you on this show. And I'm like, no, that was Jamie Lee.
Exactly. You know? Yes. Now take that to Hollywood to where it's some girl who was just in a ludicrous video, but then now she's trying out to be on Empire or something like that. You know, and this next thing you know, you go to that casting call, and the casting calls are so stupid because you go to a casting call and it's like you could be on La Brea and 9 different rooms and you can have like 4 auditions in that same building. You go over here, you got 9 people that look like you. You go over here, it's 20 people that look like you. And it's like everybody's saying, you're doing
the same
thing.
That's so depressing. No, even in the city when I go on auditions and you can tell they're looking for someone who looks like you.
Yeah.
You know, you walk in, you just feel so unoriginal and not unique. It's so depressing.
Yeah.
I remember one time I went to an audition and they were casting something else in like across the room and it was all light skinned, beautiful, tall black chicks. Yep. And like if I had just seen one of them, I'd be like, oh my God, the most beautiful girls in front of me.
Yeah.
But there were like 30 of them and I was like, this is so fucked up that, you know, one of these girls is so beautiful and unique, but now she has to just stare at, you know, 20 other women that look exactly
like
her.
It's
like
that
like
funhouse mirror or that mirror in the dressing room where you get like this angle right here. You know, and the thing is that Hollywood does not create anything. I always try to tell, give people a lesson on Hollywood because it took me a while to learn. I've been out there 12 years. And it took me a lesson to learn. Hollywood creates nothing. Hollywood is like a photocopier. So if something pops off and it's hot, let's say it comes from New York, it comes from somewhere else, someone writes it, and then WB gets it. Now, Paramount says, oh, let's do the numbers. You got a lot of Asians over there crunching the numbers at the studios or whatever like that. I'm telling, go to any lot and you'll see what I'm talking about. They're crunching the numbers. Next thing you know, you look at it, oh, Paramount has to get that same type of show, but we'll have to do a black version of it, or we'll have to do another. That's why when you look at TV, it looks like a carbon cutout. This show, it could be a cop show, and this show is another type of, it could be numbers, and this show could be SUV or SVU or whatever it is.
But it's so annoying because I'm trying right now to pitch a sketch show, and when you pitch it, people are like, okay, but they want to compare it to something that's already out.
Right.
It's like, don't you just want something that hasn't been done?
Yes. They don't. You know what it is? That's another thing. They don't give a shit about.
They just want
numbers.
You're
talented. Oh, you're good. Yeah. Like, if you're not going to bring me, if you're not offering anything, like, why the fuck do I need you? You know what I mean? Like,
because you got to understand, wealthy people bet on sure things.
Yeah. They're not going to fucking take a chance. No. Like, why take a chance?
Yeah, but the things that you take chances on, they're the ones that do well. So,
but how often does that happen?
Yeah, because the
something like a Seinfeld, you
okay,
know?
Okay, right.
And you know how many times they had to pitch that? It was probably a show about nothing.
It was way different back then, also. And also, Seinfeld in the first few seasons was not a successful show. It should have got ripped off the air, but eventually it picked up and became, you know, what it is. But I remember the first few seasons of that, it was like trash. Like, it should have got kicked off the air, but it was like, it was Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Larry David was no one back then either. But Jerry Seinfeld was Jerry Seinfeld.
That's why
it's
so important. And not just with this industry, entertainment, but in anything. It's so good to be able to have the freedom to create and start your own thing. Like, I'm actually going to restart up my YouTube channel because I'm sick of waiting around. Lightning bolts.
Hey, Wolf. Transition here.
So I'm just, because I'm sick of waiting around for someone to be like, yes, I believe in you, you know, for one of these big projects. I'm like, I just got to start putting out my own content more.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah. You got to put out your own shit. And it's the same thing, like, you know, people starting their own business. Kudos to them because we're sick of waiting around.
Because
for
if you're gonna wait for a corporate conglomerate to say yes to greenlight you, well, here's what you're waiting on. You're waiting on them to see what the tide. It's the same thing with the market. I swear to God, you can look at both industries and look at them the same way. It's the same way with the market. People in Wall Street don't the big players. They don't when they bet. You see the heavy volume going up when they're trading. Now people who are watching them will trade with them. Because their ship takes a longer time to turn around than your ship. So when they decide to get out, you get out a lot earlier because it takes them a long amount of time to get their money out. But they're only going to put that amount of money into something that's going to go long term. That's going to go
right.
Big.
Well, they only want to put their money in a name. That's
right.
Why I feel like you would be a perfect, Joe would be a perfect person for them to invest in because he has already a huge YouTube following.
Okay.
Lots of Twitter followers. So do you get what I'm saying though?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you already have created your fan base.
And that's the game.
You would be a sure bet. You also have the talent behind you, but you would be a sure thing, you know, whereas like someone like me, not yet.
Yeah.
For them to give me my own show, they'd be like, what? How do we know it's going to do well?
And
someone would
game.
Have to take a risk.
They'll
on
see,
it.
Yeah.
They'll see, what did you develop? And that goes to my point. They're not going to create it. They'll see who created it. You created it. Okay, you come on in now because we want your fan base now. Because we want through you to affect all those people that trust you. And if they trust you, then I can put my bullshit into their minds through you. And thank you. And that's why we use you. Same thing with Mark Zuckerberg. Same thing with anything that you see that was so big. They said, oh, You were talented enough to get that. Thank you. Here's the money. And now here's what
we're
going to
do. That's what Zuckerberg does. He really buys out all the competition.
Thank you.
And he bought fucking Instagram for $1 billion. It's like worth like 15 or some billion now. Like,
yeah.
He just turned that shit around. Like, thank you. Here's your billion. Go fuck yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Now he's making all that money.
Because remember, it's still all a global economy. Hollywood is still a global economy. Like, the residuals that you can get from an overseas market like the Netherlands or the UK or anything like that still comes in even after the domestic residuals stop, or even if it slows down, you're still reaching out to the world. The world is starting to think in a one world global mentality now. So when you got companies like that, they're not worried about, oh,
that's little. So scary, right? I yeah. mean, it's so to
it's
think of
that, it's that industry,
one
though.
Company owning everything. I mean, it's Bank but, of America, but
here's the deal,
that
like
stuff.
That's the industry, that's also the music industry, but
yes.
we're blessed in the time that we live in right now, because you do have opportunities to do it by yourself.
Yeah.
You can build it up to the point where you're like, yeah. I'm successful without you guys. So now you call the shots with them. And production companies now, they'll come to you and just be like, what's your idea? Like, they'll take your idea, they'll take anybody's idea, and they'll make it a show. And like, they're the producers, so they make, you know, a great amount of money off of it, but it's your idea. They just sit back and go, what is it now? And then they just fucking shoot it.
Well, I don't think we've talked about this on air, but, you know, we had a production company call Joe and I in to pitch, you know, to come up with some ideas. And I was so much more eager than Joe, because Joe's like, hey, I already have a huge following. I'm making money off of my YouTube channel, a good amount of money. Right. I also have another job, you know, whereas I was more like, you know,
yeah,
like, Joe, act like you're interested. What are you doing?
The only thing is, I wasn't going to act like I was super interested, because I know how those things work. Those guys just, they'll say whatever the fuck they have to say for you to get you go, yeah, okay, yes, okay, cool. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be with a meeting with a production company. But you can't be intimidated by people like that, and you can't be super excited about it, because they're telling this to 20 different people.
Well, you're acting, it's the same thing as a girl acting too thirsty. I'm acting thirsty.
Right, right. Because you act like, because then it's like, I
you
got
you know what
them.
I mean? Yeah. I'm like, it's oh, like, yeah, I need this, I need this.
Exactly.
And you're like, I don't need this.
Yeah,
it
no,
would be
I don't,
great,
I don't
like, need it.
One thing I do always applaud people, because people put acronyms and nicknames and shit, but I applaud passion. Because without passion, you can't have anything. If you're passionate about something, like, yeah, let's do it, because you really want to do it. But then once you know your worth and you're like, you know what? I need to seduce them. Because if they call me already, they want me.
Exactly.
I wouldn't even be on the radar.
We ended up pulling out of it because I thought we wrote a hilarious script. We had a great idea. I won't say it because we still want to hopefully do it. But we wrote a great script and we sent it. And at first the guy was like, oh, funny, you know, here are some suggestions. And I was like, totally, I respect, you know, of course we need to tweak it. But then he kept giving suggestions that didn't feel necessary.
He basically just tried to make it his own. And I was just kind of like, dude, if you're going to call me and ask me to write a script and then you're going to try and change the whole thing, and then you're going to have to shoot it, like, no, that's not how it works. Like, you call me, I write the script, I'm going to tell you what we're doing, and then you just fucking shoot it.
Now, I will say this.
That's crazy.
That's ambitious. I do like that. I like that mentality of people. But one thing I will say, when you're dealing at a next level, and you have to understand, like, there's different levels to this game. There's a level to where you're like, oh, I'm still in charge. And then there's a level where people, like, you may one day be sitting in the room with Spielberg. You may.
Yeah.
You won't ever tell him what to do.
No, hell no.
And the people that work for him will always say like this, hey, look, why don't you take this 2, 3, 4, 5 million and just walk off? We'll take this baby and we'll take it in another direction. Some people go, no, that's my baby. I'm going to birth it and I'm going to see it all the way through. Now, if you have the name and if you have the clientele behind that, that's perfect.
Yeah.
But there are certain times it's a judgment call, because there's certain times you look and you go, well, they do have the upper hand. And when Mark Zuckerberg buys out someone who developed something, they step aside and say, yeah, we sold to Mark Zuckerberg. High five. Now, will they ever come back to the industry with something? Maybe, maybe not. However, they took the chance right then to say, okay, this was an investment as opposed to something I'm going to see all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when people tweak your stuff, they're saying, I'm not tweaking it, critiquing you. I just know who I'm pitching it for.
Right.
And I'm going to take this and use it here. Because if they don't use yours, they're using somebody's. They didn't go out of business. that right. day when you said no.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So they used somebody else's.
No, I understood that. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm not trying to tell this guy he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
He has a hugely successful production company. He knows what he's doing. But I also felt like Joe and I know what funny is too.
Yeah.
You know, and Joe, he knows what's funny. He puts out his own videos once a week that get a lot of hits.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt like I was cool making tweaks on it. But the last suggestion was to really change up almost the entire thing.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like, man, how many rewrites will this take? I just kind of felt like,
rewrites.
I don't know.
Yeah, rewrites.
There wasn't really anything in it for us to where it was like, this is a sacrifice. This is just how it goes. It was just kind of like, we're not really getting anything crazy out of this. Like, he's shooting it for us and it's our idea, whatever. But I know other production companies
yeah.
that I have relationships with, and I could be like, I could just get this done with that. Like, why do I need to bother with you? Like, if you keep telling me this is different, this is that, blah, blah, blah. And there's nothing really in it for me. You're not offering me anything crazy. It's not like,
yeah.
it's not like a, you know,
if
Mark
like,
Zuckerberg giving $1 billion. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's not giving us a budget.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not giving us a budget. He's not giving us nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just, he's like, no budget, no nothing. He's not promising anything. He's not guaranteeing anything. Not that he can anyway, because the thing hasn't been shot yet, but it was just kind of like a thing that was up in the air, and he's already trying to change everything and like trying to take the reins, and it's just kind of like, you know what, man, like this is like I just like, I don't really know him either.
Yeah.
I don't have that relationship with him, so I was just kind of like, you know.
And that's a good thing, because that's a part of this business, like bumping into 9 or 10 different no's to get that yes. Or it's like, how many girls would like we talk to and then get that one yes, and then be like, all the no's was like, okay, it was worth it to get that no to find you. You know what I'm saying?
My friend always says, if you bat 300, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So it's like
you have to go through those
three
meetings.
Out of 10 times, you only have to hit.
You have to go through those meetings where you go, this is bullshit. And then you go, oh, this was it right here.
Yeah.
I've gone into Comedy Central so many times. And
weren't you just coming from HBO right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, just HBO. We're working on a project right now. And it's like, yo, you sit through those meetings. And that's why I say, when you leave those walls and you come back into the regular world, and then you listen to people's philosophies about how the industry go, you go, well, I get it in theory, but it really doesn't happen that way.
I'm going to have to learn to have more compromise
yeah.
eventually, because I am so stubborn with my work. Listen, and I know a lot of times there will need to be changes and tweaks.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and I'll be fine with it. But man, I get very protective over my creative
yeah.
stuff, which will
you know
have
it is?
To
no
change
one,
a little.
No one's going to believe in you or your ideas until you show them that it works already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to be like, oh, well, I could just take a chance on you because you say that you're fucking funny. Like, whatever.
Well, that's why I do want to, the script we made, I still want to make it, because
oh, yeah.
I still believe in how funny
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I would love for us to make it. I would even spend some money, yeah. you know.
Like, yeah. I'm a type of person that's like,
to prove.
I don't even
you know?
Care. Like, of course you have to live, you have to make money, and you have to play the game sometimes. And I do play it sometimes, but sometimes I'm just like, dude, I don't even care. Like, I think this is funny the way it is, so I'm just gonna shoot it without you.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't get picked up, it makes me $0. It costs me money. I still made it though. You know what I mean?
Like,
I don't
care.
The
important thing to shoot it. Like if you see it and you got the vision and you think, as a director, I can look at this and shoot this the right way, or I can have somebody come in and shoot this for me. This way, when I go and ask, and I have the script in front of me, and then I can show them.
Right.
And you go, okay, this is exactly how it looks. Now, that's why we always tell people, don't shoot it all for free. Shoot just the pilot
right.
for free, because this is a business. This is not homework in graduate school. I went to film school, so I know that when they used to give you assignments, you go shoot it for free, and you come back and you show it. In this industry, we pitch shit by email. We pitch shit just, you know, guess what? If we could do that. And the next thing you know, it's be on a poster and you hand it to somebody. And then you see these people with these packages that they've learned because they read this book and say, well, the package has to be like this. And it has to be this length right here.
Ugh.
That
I just hate
only
having
to
conform to
yeah.
to rules.
Yeah.
It's what you're saying. Like, it's just, I get it. And I get that, you know, there are some rules, and some rules are good in general, not just in the industry,
right.
but in life.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're overly ruled. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're overly controlled right now.
Yeah.
And that's to
you
a
like
certain
having your
extent.
Own mind. Like
yeah.
You like having control over your own
And that's
stuff.
How you weed people out. See, a lot of people think that that's the inclusion process. It's just like when I went to basic training, and people thought basic training was an inclusion process. That's how you weed the weaklings out. And that's how, when you have all these rules, that's how you weed people out, because people don't even, that they matter, don't even read the script. there have been many times, whether I was working for casting agents when I first got to L.A. or producers, whatever, they're assistants who one day will be that casting director, who one day, you know, because that's how the industry turns up. You can be an assistant one day and be a casting director like in 3 weeks.
You got to be nice to everyone always. Yes,
yeah, but that person is inundated, sitting in a room, just flipping a page about something they don't really care about. And if something maybe catches their interest, they may go, oh, okay. And if it doesn't, then that whole box of scripts get thrown away. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, it's such a, you put all your effort into something, and then you go, oh, I got my script, here it is. And I went to Kinko's, and I used my last bit of money to get it copied off and everything, and here it is, Mr. Producer, whatever like that. And that thing may never get read and get why is these headphones? And that thing may never get read and still get thrown in the trash. And you're like, yeah, but so-and-so has my script. It doesn't happen like that. That's why I say there's only two type of people in Hollywood. Those are the inside and outside. There are people that are sitting in Hollywood that are no closer to getting into Hollywood than somebody in Minnesota. They just happen to be closer.
And
to
that's them. And that's yeah, why just in the city. That's why you make your own content. And I do, even though Joe's younger than me, I look up to him.
Yeah.
Because he really, at a young age, didn't sit around, didn't just say like, oh, I have this passion one day. You know, he just started doing it.
Yeah.
He just started. I was saying to Tim, my boyfriend today, I was like, I'm going to start my YouTube channel again. He goes, what do you say? He's like, don't talk about it. Be about it.
Yeah.
And at first I got insulted, but I know. Of course, you got.
What are you
not
saying?
A good day.
Can you hug me when he says
like,
that?
There's something magical.
Yeah.
That is why I love people, because we can do that. We can do that. We can tell somebody something. As soon as they give you that little thing, you be like, what? And then you go right back to it. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I get insulted for a quick second, and I'm like, okay, you're right. But no, because I was like, I was saying with you, you know, you just did it. You didn't just talk about what you wanted to do. You just did it. You didn't say like, oh, I'm doing this so I get followers. You did it. You just did it to do it. And that's why I'm like, I have to stop talking about starting up my YouTube channel again and just do it.
And you know what it is too? Like I when I did that, I didn't even realize like what I was doing. But it was kind of like it changed my whole mentality once it started to become what it became. But it's just like once I just started doing it because I was like, I just want to fucking, you know, make people, I just want to do it. You know what I mean? Just make people laugh. It's like a fun thing for me. It was like fun to just create those videos. And I didn't think of it as a business. I didn't think of it any of that. I didn't know if I was going to do that for forever, what the fuck I was going to do. I just started doing it. But then once it became what it became, it was just kind of like that changes your whole mentality. Like you just did this because you just wanted to do it and it becomes something. So it's like, why? Well, then if I did this shit, why can't I do something else? You know what I mean? Why can't I do that?
I think that's the spark right there. If I could just do what I want to do, and if I did it, I can keep doing something.
Yeah,
because
like,
it's not about the industry. It's about what's coming out of him.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And now people can't even say that shit to you because like, if I said some wild shit like, oh, I want to be a fucking harp player or some shit, and someone's like, how are you going to play the harp? Like,
right,
you're not going to play the harp. I'm like, yo, people said I wasn't going to fucking make a YouTube channel either, but that shit happened. You know what I mean? Like,
you see, man.
So it just shuts people up. It also shuts you up. It makes you not question yourself. Because, like, I did this shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I did this. So it's like, I could do this. This is no problem.
And it came from...
I've done this before.
I know this is going to sound corny, but it also came from your heart. It came from the right place.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching... Tim showed me... There are two videos he showed me recently. There's this one guy who goes to caves in like Arizona, I think it is. He just loves this. He takes like these chisel tools and he just goes in there and chisels these beautiful, I have to find the link and I'll cite it next time, these beautiful caves, like unbelievable. And it takes him a long ass time to make them. And he just says, I love doing it. I just go there. I'm peaceful. He just does what he loves.
That's
and now
awesome.
They're being sold for like millions of dollars.
See?
That's you what know? Happens, though.
And he's just happy doing it. He just does it because he likes creating these art caves.
When you do things with a clear mind, they just become so much better. Like, if you're not thinking about, like, oh, I gotta make this timeline. I gotta make this deadline. I gotta do it this way. I gotta pitch it this way. I gotta market it. Like, if you just fucking do it the way you want to do it, eventually, if you like doing it, as long as you like doing it, you're going to want to be the best at it because you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then eventually someone's going
to
pay
you. And to me, it's for the people. Like, I always stress this. Yeah, industry. They are the vehicle which you want to get on to see if I could take this ride for this long. But the people who are like the consumers who are watching it and looking at it, you were a consumer of looking at that person who did it with the caves. He wasn't doing it for a structure and for a school or for a corporation. He did it, and then you came across it, however you came across it, through your Tim or whatever, and then you're like, you saw it, and you're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. That's why an artist does something. Now, Hollywood does not care about the
artist. I think he just
artist.
Did it because he loved it.
Right.
Not that he didn't. I think he still loves the people that are responding to it. But right. He just did it. He was an artist.
Yeah, when your heart's in something, you really just want to keep on doing it. And if it makes people happy, then like that's just a plus.
But as an artist, you're sharing. Like, an artist is not selfish and say, well, I just did it. That's like jacking off at home. You know what I'm saying? If you just want to do it for yourself. No.
But I even think that's okay. I think if he was just making those caves to be happy and peaceful.
I guarantee you.
I thought he was going to say it was okay for jacking off.
That's
okay too.
That's okay.
He can do that.
Okay. I'd rather share.
I'd rather him jack off alone at home than sharing it on like the subway or something. It's like, go home.
Right, that's true. But there's somebody on that subway that's going to be like, thank you. Yeah. I'm gonna get a million hits off of this.
Yeah, right.
No, but I think yes, you know, when you're an artist, there is a two-way relationship, but I think the strongest one is doing it for yourself and loving what you do. And I think this guy just wanted to make beautiful art and canvas.
I would love to talk to that guy, because see, that's another thing too. Since people are living, like, we could look at artists that are old and be like, oh, and I think that Monet was going for this, and I think Picasso was going for this, but they're not around to say. But if that guy is still around, I love hearing that person's voice. Like, I saw your voice, I saw what you did, but now I want to know
what your process was.
Yeah, because we all, from a lot of different angles, analyze so many different things, go, you know what, this person might have been doing this. And I'm like, what were you thinking? You tell me. I want to hear from you. Well, like Banksy. Like, that's why I love Banksy.
Me too.
But then when I used to hear people describe Banksy. And then one day I heard Banksy describe himself. It was totally different than what people was describing him as. I was like, I knew they didn't fucking know, because they can't do what he do.
Well, we live in a world of know-it-alls.
Exactly.
I'm one of them.
Oh, my God.
I'm learning how to not be. Seriously. I'm learning how to not be. But it's funny because Tim will ask me a question, and I don't even realize I don't know the answer. And I'll start creating an answer.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, he'll stop me and go, you can just say you don't know. And I'll be like, I don't know.
Right.
But it's so weird, because I'm like, why did I try to answer?
Yeah.
It's so, I think we all do that.
Yes, we all do.
We don't know how to just say, I don't know.
Yeah, people don't like being wrong.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
And I think I think when you start with, I don't know, I think that's where art happens. I think that's where truth happens. I think like even when kids used to ask me, question my nieces, I don't know. Look it up. Google it. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? We used to always look for people, and people think that I have to have the answer. But living in that, not knowing the answer will come to you.
Curiosity is like a journey. Like it just takes you to where you need to go, and like you'll end up finding out sooner or later, but like it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
My school calls it, I'm in a spiritual school, they call it living the mystery. And they say that's the point of life. But we want the answers because we start freaking out when we don't have it. But the whole beautiful part of life is
not knowing.
It's what you're saying. It's the journey of not knowing.
Yeah. No one knows anything. Even if you think you do, like you don't. Like you're going to, whether you're doing something you love or whatever, you're just not going to know what's going to come next. So
exactly.
Like, ever.
I still don't know.
Even if you try.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing a bunch of things. I don't know what I want to do.
You can't. Yeah. You're lying if you think you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Because once you know one thing, now there's a lot more that you don't know. You know what I mean? It just keeps opening up.
Yeah. It's just a giant tree of not knowing anything.
It's a beautiful tree of life.
It's just
there we go.
I think the biggest thing is, though, it comes down to like, if you're curious and like find out and like just get it done, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people are curious and they're just like, I'm curious, and they leave it at that. They're like, I just don't know. So
I'm just
gonna, like,
whatever.
There are
some people who are scared to go figure it out.
Yeah, it's
definitely scary, and that's why
it's scary. The unknown is scary.
And look at that, what we just talked about. Now couple that with an industry. See, the artist is that we don't know. We're trying to figure it out.
The industry is the answer. They're the hard, concrete bullshit.
Yeah. The industry says,
bullshit.
The industry says, we know exactly what we want. We have a plan to control people's minds doing this thing way. And this is why we want you to buy
this. Well, they're a slave to money. And when you're a slave to money, that's never a good thing.
Right. You have a clear vision now as to what to do. So you're going, okay. A lot of people don't even understand this. In order for your show to get greenlit or anything, advertisers have to sit in and look. So we, the people who make shampoo or the people who make skin products, because they say, okay, who are you going to pitch this show to? And you go, okay, we're going to pitch it to the, let's say, 14 to 24-year-olds or whatever like that, or even up into 30-year-olds. Okay, but we're going to pitch it for that range right there. Okay, that's cool. Now, we have to look at all the products that we have for that age range. Pimple cream, condoms, all these other different things like that, juices, beer, everything like that. Now, these advertisers have to say, okay, yes for the project and yes for the actor that we want to represent that during the show, so that when we go to commercial break, which really drives the industry, the commercials,
yeah,
they run it. They're the ones calling the shots. But people think, no, this production company over here is a slave.
No, yeah, someone's got to pay right. them.
Because, Shark Tank.
And that's what, so now when you,
I love Shark Tank.
When you look at,
I've never seen it.
Oh my God, yeah. And so when you look at, and that's how the industry is run. So when you go, it's like Oz. If anybody's watched The Wizard of Oz or The Wiz or whatever the fuck, when you finally see behind the curtain,
some dude.
Some dude is somebody orchestrating a thought that they want, and that's the whole thing. So that's all I wanted to say. It's like you put what we just talked about, the not knowing. That's where the creativity lives. That's where what we want to come out here. But then we say, hey, I don't want to do this as an independent. I want to now ask this conglomerate to co-sign for me.
Yeah.
And when you go to that conglomerate to co-sign, he's like, sure, I'll co-sign for you. But this is how we got to play it.
Yeah, they go, but sign with the devil first.
The biggest thing that I'm trying to say also is that all that is true, but you could also do it like by yourself. Like that
absolutely.
Dude who you're saying who's doing the fucking cave,
like,
or whatever.
Banksy.
Imagine Banksy too. Yeah. Imagine the dude with the cave. You say he's making millions off his shit now. He just did it. He was like, fuck, I'm just going to walk over here and just start calling
and he just
shit.
Did it because he wanted to do it.
And imagine he went to some production company. He's like, I have this idea. I'm going to start doing this thing with the cave. And you guys are going to film it. They'd be like, all right, yeah, cool. You're gonna carve it. We're going to get these big teddy bitches to run in the front because that's going to bring in views. We're going to have Justin Timberlake in the background singing while you fucking carve. Right. Like, that's how they would do it, because that's how you're going to get people to drive it. But him just like, dude, I'm just going to carve into this fucking wall.
That's the archetype. That's the archetype. Now, that's the one that did it artistically and did it on his own. Now, when Hollywood gets it, they say, we can get seven more just like it. So it may not be a dude in a cave. It may be somebody else in the avalanche. It may be somebody else carving out igloos. It may be somebody else doing a forest. But I guarantee you, once they know the number, once they see the numbers, and this is just how Hollywood runs.
Working.
Hollywood will never not run this way. Once they see something that works, be it on its own. That's why I say Hollywood does not create anything. What it does is copies it. And because that's the industry that makes that, like, there are more people that know about Hollywood than this guy carving a cave. So let's say he made.
Yeah, but he doesn't even give it. But we're going back to Hollywood. But this dude doesn't give a shit about Hollywood.
No, I know. But what he's saying is that, like, the Hollywood is just like, you make it, cool. You made it. But I'm just going to make five more like that. I'm going to make it two.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So you made 2 million. We made billions. Because, off of copying you.
Because we have seven dudes carving trees.
Yeah.
But you know what? That dude's way happier. And that's the thing. It's not about, we're going to get to this stuff again.
I mean, maybe he's not happy.
I
mean, it depends who you are. If you're a person who's just like, I just want this fucking check.
Well, he didn't care about the money, you know?
Because that's him.
You can tell this guy lives such a simple life and he's just happy. And he's found the answer. You know? And it's like Eve Ensler, she's the creator of the Vagina Monologues.
Okay.
I met her. And she was saying, she was like, you know, when I created them, I never thought they were going to make money. You know, she never thought it was going to be one of the most successful plays ever. Yeah. She was like, I just felt that women needed a voice. It came from my heart. It was fun. Next thing you know, it became big. And she goes, and I believe it's because it resonated.
Yeah.
The truth resonates with
people. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a bunch of things that are just like carbon copies and just like bullshit, like trash TV that gets produced or whatever. But there are some good things that are produced, obviously, because, you know, someone will just like – some people take a chance on some things. Majority of the time, they don't. But what I was going to say before is the dude you're saying who is happy, he's happier because he did it by himself in the way that he wanted to. And there could be a person who Hollywood takes and it's just like, oh, you just carve a bunch of trees in the forest.
Yeah, yeah, go. Like, and he could be happy too.
Happy as shit because he's making his money. Yeah, you know what I mean? But like, you know, that's just
I just
how
feel
it
like
is.
When you're driven by something externally, like money, there's no way you're going to feel as fulfilled as the guy who is driven internally.
Unless you're sitting at Gitano with an 18-year-old on your lap. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
No
when
way.
You get back
it
to
all
that.
Comes back.
It all comes back to that because those are the people that are greenlighting that shit. Those people that are sitting up there with that 18-year-old, they're greenlighting it. They're like, yeah, sit on down right
but
here.
But I don't think he's happy. I don't think that dude's happy.
That dude has to be happy.
No way.
That dude, because he's just living his
life. I think
people
have different expectations of their happiness.
Right. Like, he's just living his life.
Some people might get joy out of just having money and don't care about the simple
right.
things.
I agree that they feel that they're happy,
but you don't think that they're actually
happy. I think from what I've learned, happiness really comes from an internal place. When you look for it externally, from another person, from a house, from money. Like, look at Robin Williams. He had everything.
Yeah, but happiness.
But happiness.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You have to find it.
See, you lose your happiness because I guarantee you, everyone that is born has a happiness at some point in time in their life, whether you're two, whether you're three, or whatever. These external things making it more important than the internal happiness that you have, then you start chasing that and forgetting about this. The guy, Robin Williams, like you said, now what's the guy, Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Mm-hmm.
Great talents, everything like that. Can't nobody even dispute how talented these people were. Somewhere inside, the happiness wasn't there. So they numbed it with something. And they found their happiness through numbing it with something. The next thing you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, when that numbness can't numb it anymore, it's like, okay, well, I'm checking out. Whatever. But that's the whole thing. It's like,
It's the same thing with drugs. It's an external thing. If that's how you find your happiness,
That's how
it's not sustainable.
And then, like, the guy that, you remember those gourmet jelly beans? That when you taste it, one tastes like pina colada, one tastes
The
guy who invented that. Oh, he was just happy because he loved candy. I saw a documentary on him. He's so creative and funny. He walks, you see his apartment. You see his house and everything like that. He has toys everywhere. He's still a big fucking kid. I'm going to tell you, he's a kid. However, he does not own the jelly beans anymore. He does not even get any money from the jelly beans anymore because all he focused on was his happiness with the jelly beans. Somebody else said, hey, we can scoop this stuff up under him. Willed and dealed him, got him out, flim-flammed him. Next thing you know, he owns nothing. They own the whole thing, and they're wealthy. Now, he's kind of happy that he did make it, but he's kind of upset that he dropped the ball and didn't capitalize on what could have happened because that was his project. And I think that there has to be a balance. When you go to the corporate people, you have to say, look, I'm going to be happy. However, I definitely want to make sure I make some money.
Yeah, and I think like we'll go back to the cave guy. He loves doing what he's doing. So for no amount of money would he say, okay, you can have this venture. He'd be like, sure, create copies of it. Other people want to start, you know, going into caves and carving. Cool. You're not going to stop me from carving.
Right.
You're not going to stop me from doing what I love.
Right.
And that's the point is like, not fuck the industry. If you want to go to them, whatever, that's fine. There can be really useful ventures there. But overall, you just got to do what you love.
We can survive without the industry.
It's really not about the money.
That's the thing. You can survive without the industry, but all it comes down to is just fucking do it. Like, even if you want to do it with the industry and you got to make certain sacrifices and that you got to do it their way, whatever, just fucking do it. You know what I mean? Or even if it's without them, you're like, I don't need them. Fuck them. If you're that type of person, which is kind of the type of person I am, which gets me into trouble sometimes. But it's like, I fucking do it, though. Like, if I have an idea and I really like it, I'm like, I'm fucking doing it. Like, I don't care. Like, you don't like it, you don't want to do it the way I want to do it, all right, well, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? I'll just do it. No matter what it is. It doesn't matter.
I'm literally going to call this podcast, Just Do It.
Just do it.
You just got to do it.
Yeah, don't talk about it. Shout out to Nike.
Be about it.
Shout out to Nike.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nike and shout out to Tim.
The most corporate.
And Tim.
Shout out to Nike and Tim.
Yeah, the most corporate. Yeah,
all right, guys, we got to wrap this up. But Larry, where can they find you?
You can find me here. I'm right here. Look at me.
Are you on Twitter?
Yes, I'm on Twitter as Larry Beyah, B-E-Y-A-H. I'm on Instagram at LB Funny and on Facebook at Larry Beyah, B-E-Y-A-H.
Sammy?
I'm at Sam_Ricky on Twitter and Sammy Ricky on Instagram.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Joe Santagato and Kate.
You can email us Invasion of Privacy Podcast at gmail.com. Twitter, at the Kate Wolf. And if you want a tarot card reading or numerology reading.
Oh, I want that.
Please.
Do it.
Tim and I are giving them. We are the Magical Unicorn Rainbow Healers.
Is that
the name that you guys
now you have magical
on?
Things yeah. to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Magical. What can I say? But yeah, just hit me up and
I got
we'll
one
give
of those numerology
reading.
Readings. She was crazy.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I need one.
I've gotten one done.
One.
It was crazy.
I want one as soon as possible.
We'll do this.
That's awesome.
So yeah, reach out and thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.